I'd like to thank our sponsor, Brandon Moyer of Made to Be Clean Cleaning Services. They use low toxic cleaning solutions to make your home or office clean and healthy. Made to Be Clean, your hive, our purpose. 484-509-7197. Hello, this is Brad Wiseman. You're listening to Real Estate and You, where each time we try to bring up some topics or bring some people in to talk about anything to do with real estate, really. And sometimes we go off on tangents that have nothing to do with real estate, and that's fine too. So I have this is a really exciting guest for me because, I'll get into the story a little bit once I introduce him, but this is going to be John Clyde. He is the regional director for the KW Greater PA region, and just happens to be somebody that I talk to a lot and see a lot, and I wanted to bring him in because he wrote a book and I wanted to chat about it. So here we go. John, are you on the line?
I am. How are you, Brad?
I'm doing great. It's a great day in real estate.
Oh, sure. This market's insane, my friend. Insane.
Yeah, it's funny. And everybody keeps saying, oh, you've seen a market like this before. And, you know, I'm in this 28 years and I've never seen a market like this. This is definitely something that is just, it's different. I can't even explain it.
Yeah, I did like the market we had, in the 03, 04, 05, that market was pretty good too, but this is fun as well.
This is really fun. So I'm just going to back up a little bit and tell people how I know you, and kind of just a little interesting story is I would not be where I am right now at Keller Williams in a leadership and also investment position if it was not for John Clyde. John is the one that I met at a Starbucks probably about 3.5 years ago and convinced me that he actually believed more in me than I believed in me, that I could do this thing with Keller Williams. And I want to thank you for that, John.
No, you're welcome. And I tell you, part of our job, Brad, is when we find something we're really passionate about, is actually to do something about it. And how cool is it when you get incentivized to actually do what you're passionate about, which is for me is to consult people on that, to come and bring their business and their know-how to Keller Williams.
Yeah. And well, you do a great job of it. Cause like I said, you were able to push people to be the best they can be and do things they never thought they could do. So I give you lots of credit for that.
Appreciate that.
So there's this thing that I've heard that you wrote a book and, I heard it's called Leaving Six Figures, and I've been reading about it. I haven't read the book, but I've been reading about it, and it's really, really interesting just reading about what the book is about. And maybe you can just tell me a little bit of why you wrote the book, or what came to you to say, because this is a big deal. You don't just wake up and go, I'm gonna write a book today. It just doesn't happen like that. At least I don't think it happened like that. But how did it happen?
I think I say something different every time someone asks me. The reason being because there's so many reasons behind it. The thing that my answer today is different than it was probably a month ago or a week ago when I was asked that question. Right. And I would say today it's, I grew up, my dad had a 8th grade education. My mom just graduated high school.
Right.
And education wasn't a big deal in our household.
Okay.
And even when I went to college, to play football. And grades were never really a focal point for me. I would say average student is probably saying too much.
Right.
But, I would say I was a good C+ student, and as I got older, I started to say, it's not that cool not to be smart and enriched and to have more knowledge. Right. I really didn't read books a lot and didn't care. And for some reason I had this passion later in life that, I want to write a book, I want to do something that challenges me. And then I think the other part, Brad, I kind of wanted to have a legacy. And I thought one day, someone told me the story that, how many people actually remember you when you die?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
your grandkids' kids don't even know who you are.
So true.
Who your name
so
is.
So true. Yep.
So I'm like, and I think Walton said it, Sam Walton said it, the owner of Walmart, he wrote that book to have a legacy.
Sure.
So I also thought one day that, my kids and my kids' kids could know who grandpa was, great grandpa. So that was kind of the reason behind it.
And, that's cool.
I think it led to, you have to have a reason to tell the book too, right? Like what do people want to even, yeah, why right. would they want to listen? Right.
Right. Yeah. That is funny because you have a purpose. There's got to be that you had to sit down at a certain point and say, okay, this is the goal of this book. The goal is this.
Yeah. So that part came about. And the reason why I say I always have a different answer is because my mind's in a different place when I, sure. when I have that question. But I was a New Jersey State Trooper for 17 years. And, you know, I was just, you know, I had this job that everybody wanted, supposedly everyone yeah. wanted, right? It was right. like, I think 10,000 people yep. applied back when I did it in 95, I think, or 96. And, you know, at the time, only, you know, a few hundred made it.
Yeah.
And it was a prestigious job. It was a career, I guess, not even a job. And it was, I think starting salary then was like 55,000 back in, you know, the mid 90s. Yeah. That's, you know, attorneys were making that.
I was going to say, that's really good money. Well, state troopers always made good money from what I've heard, which
yeah.
is great.
And then I heard, you know, they had great benefits.
Yeah.
And then there's this thing called the get out of jail free cards, you know, and,
I like that
speed.
One.
And you can get in front of lines and all this stuff. I'm right, like, this right. is really
this
cool.
This is a great job.
Yeah. And then, you know, then you actually got to go out and do it. You know, you yeah, actually got to yeah. be a trooper or a police officer.
Which is dangerous too. I mean, you know, you guys are, they're front line. I mean, you're state troopers are, they're there. I mean, they're catching criminals and doing all kinds of stuff. So, you know, that's a little scary.
Yeah, I mean, I was assigned in, you know, major cities. I was undercover. You know, I always tell people, you know, I sold drugs, and they're like, "What?" And I was like, "No, I was undercover." You know, yeah.
on the different side. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I was on a different side of selling. But you know, but yeah, I've experienced everything. You know, I haven't been shot at, but I've been in the area when shots were fired, you know, yeah, luckily right. I wasn't there and, you know, guns right. out and all that. So I've been, you know, I've been around where, you know, a knife was drawn on me and I've been in fights and fought yeah, people on the roadway. So I did all that. And then all of a sudden, you know, real early on as a young state trooper, I got my real estate license too, which I know this is a real estate show.
Now, how old do you think, you were when you got your real, you probably know, you shouldn't think.
Yeah,
I was
1999. So, okay. Yeah. So I'll be 49 in a couple of weeks. So, you know,
That's okay. That's, so it's, you've been in for a while and see well, the thing,
20 years.
Yes. So here's the thing for me, like, what's that turning point? Like where you're like, when you were doing really well in real estate, from what I remember our conversations together, you did really well doing the dual career and you probably could have kept doing that for a while and retired and had your pension and all these different things. What was that? How do you make that decision of all that comfort that was there of the state police job comfort as far as pension and insurance and all those things. And then all of a sudden you decide, nope, I'm going all in real estate. What did that feel like?
Well, the one thing I will tell you, and I hate to—I don't like to do the cliche. Keller Williams changed my, you know, like yeah, people yeah, say, yeah, "Oh my yeah. God, yeah." But I hate to say it—it's the truth because it's the one company that forced me to challenge myself and to get my mindset around being a business owner. Because Brad, there's a difference between a realtor and a business owner. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
95% of the realtors are self-employed. 5% of the real estate population of business owners.
Yeah.
So once I started to realize there was a business in real estate, probably 10 years into my state police world, I really said, you know what? There's a lot of money to be made in real estate.
Yeah.
And then comes the challenges. Now I'm hitting the clock to, you know, I'm getting closer to, you know, in 20 years, you can actually retire, you know, 20 years, you can retire 25 too, but you can, yeah. you can do a 50% retirement in 20. So now I'm getting to a point where, you know, I'm on the other side of, you know, my tenure and, yeah. you know, and the job gets easier, meaning I understand what I need to do. And then I kind of understand the real estate. You know, I was one of the most successful Century 21 agents in the country.
At the same time, while you're doing your state trooper thing, you were achieving
yeah,
at a very high level.
I remember in 2007, I was on the stage. I sold over 171 homes and I was number eight in America.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I sold a lot.
Yeah.
But then you got to think too, the mental capacity of doing that.
Yes.
And then I flipped homes. you know, because I don't know if you know, you know, I'm sure you do. Then it was a crazy, you know, how you can put a sign up and it sells. So I wasn't stupid. I'd seen that craze and I, you know, I jumped right on the bandwagon. So I was also investing. But, you know, I know we like stories. The story that changed me was the one time I was at I was at work. I had a $100,000 day.
Wow.
Meaning that I made $100,000 in one day in real estate.
In gross commissions. Yeah. Wow.
Well, commissions and I flipped a house.
Okay. Got it. So you got some money from that plus that.
So I had about, a hundred and some thousand dollars in my pocket of checks. And that day I went to work, to the state police. I was in the casino unit.
Yeah.
So I go to work and, you know, everyone always broke my stones. Hey man, this real estate stuff stinks. Why are you doing it? It's just a waste of time.
Right. Right.
And you know, you know, you don't work overtime and you know, you need to stop doing it. And I'm like, and I heard it so many times. I mean, I'm talking like every time I had a conversation with someone at work, they were breaking my stones.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there and I had this little bad guy on my shoulder saying,
bring the checks out. I was just going to say, show them the checks. Show them the checks.
And then I had another guy on the other side saying, don't show them the checks, John. It's arrogant. That's not you, man. Don't do it. And they kept saying it and saying it. And I said, you know what? And then I forgot the guy that was there today. And it was like two or three guys around. I said, you know what? Is this a waste of time? And you could see, I just threw the checks at him. And you see him like counting it. I mean, there's, you know, there's a check for like 40 some thousand, 10, nine. Lovely. I had a bunch of, you know, investor settlements and they were just looking at it. And you just tell like that day kind of changed the whole thing for me because I got treated differently. It was almost like I probably blackballed myself.
Yeah. Because they're actually, which is interesting because it's typical human nature. They get either jealous or they want to be you because now they're like, oh, big guy now making all this money. Why is he a state trooper? You know, I can just see that. Absolutely.
Well, it went from, you know, you're wasting your time to now who the heck do you think you are?
Right, exactly.
And then from that point on, I was treated it could have been in my mind, but for some reason I felt like an outcast.
But you know what? It's a good thing it did. It's a good thing it did go that way, you know, right?
Yeah.
Because it might not have put you to do what you did, right? I mean, those feelings were actually, those emotions you were feeling, whether they were right or wrong, were what pushed you to do what you're doing today.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of tell it, you know, throughout the book, but I tell that story that, you know, that probably was one of the, that shifted my mindset. Like, I don't belong here anymore. And, you know, you can only deal when you don't, you know, you think about any community or church or anything. And like, when you don't feel like you belong, it's easy to leave, right?
Yeah.
And
the
more I felt outcasted was the closer I got to being okay with saying it's time to go.
Yeah. So that was a turning point there. And then you go and you leave. And then not only do you start, so you were at C21 at that time, right? You were at Century 21, I think, at the time when you did that changeover. Mm-hmm. And then obviously then you came into seeing how Keller Williams is. And how did that happen? How did you get into the Keller Williams point?
You know, being an entrepreneur like you, I mean, when I talk to you, you want it more than just being a realtor, right?
Sure.
And I did too. And I had this itch because I was a really good recruiter. Like Century 21 had, you know, splits that were not really like ours and it wasn't capped. So I was still convinced a whole lot of people to go there. You know, it was, I don't want to say it was easy, but I felt when I believe in something, I can get people to believe in it too.
Yeah.
And I started not to believe in it anymore, you know? That's when I started to look around at other companies. And then when I found Keller Williams, you know, I was like, is this real? Like I could have, you know, I could recruit people and make half the money with the company. And if I'm really successful, I can own my own and I could do, you know, I can own a couple of title companies. I can own a bunch of market centers. I'm like, wow, this is really cool. And, you know, and then I said, you know what? I got to check this. This is not right. So I actually flew to Austin. Met at the time the CEO, Mark Willis, and, you know, he was for real. He was a nice guy. He laid out everything. He went over kind of my, you know, we have the you know, the assessments, the behavioral assessments, and went over mine. And I left there. I was like, you know, this company's for me. And I joined in 2012.
Wow. And so from 2012 when you joined. And now you go from there on up to, obviously you were an agent and then also, did you get right into, when you joined, did you go right into investing into the company?
Yeah. So I came in as a launching OP. So I had to, you know, you have to, you know, and I actually put it in the book too. You had to, you know, there was a certain prescription you have to are benchmarks you have to hit to be approved, just like you guys did.
Oh, I know. You know, I to, We're very familiar with that.
Yeah, I had the same thing, but yeah. you had three partners. I had me.
Yeah, it's just you.
So when I did it at first, I launched, you know, and I was just, you know, I was still a state trooper. And,
yeah, right.
And I had, I think, yeah, I had all my kids. I had all four kids.
Oh my
goodness. So I had my kids, you know, my last one came out, the last two came out in 2010.
Talk about a full play. Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah. So yeah, I did. I started off at my team of six, and then today we're at 310.
Yeah. Awesome. That's amazing. Amazing story. So what, out of the, everything that you would, with writing this book, okay, and it says dual career to full career was one of the things it says on here that I saw. And what would you give as advice for somebody that is struggling with going full-time in real estate or full-time in whatever they're doing or whatever their dream is? You know, what's your advice, you know, on that?
Yeah, I also spell out in the book that, you know, no matter what you do, you have to plan, right? And the one thing I learned from my experience is I tell people, you know, number one, you don't leave a job if you don't have money to leave, right? Like, you know, and what's your plan? You know, especially if you have a family, you owe it to them to make smart decisions. So my first thing is do you, you know, if you're unhappy, that's great. The question is, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So the good thing, you know, most jobs, I mean, there's either downtime or, you know, you have weekends and, you know, you can get up earlier and you can, yeah. you know, journal. You got to start figuring out what is it I'm going to do. And the good thing, I mean, for real estate, you know, you can kind of test it out and play with it a little bit, depending on what you want to do, you know, whatever it is. I don't know.
Yeah. It's basically what you're saying is obviously you don't want to go into work the next day and say, I quit, you know?
Yeah. You have to have a plan.
Have a plan in place. Have some kind of a way of doing, getting to where you want to be.
Yeah. And then the most important thing is you got a budget, just like, you know, when you guys launched, if you remember, we said you need to have, you should have 3 months to 6 months of reserves. So same thing for a realtor, same thing for a business owner, you should have reserves. So if you're going to leave, you know, have money ready to aside, you know, for worst case scenarios.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
You know, all that stuff was kind of pertinent for me to start saying, you know, do I have enough money? What's my plan? You know, what's the worst thing that could happen to me? All those questions need to be answered before you pull the plug.
Right. So obviously you're very happy that of the decision that you made back in, was it 2012 or whatever, you know, you're very happy about that decision. Cause I know you're excelling in so many different ways. I know when it comes to, I see you up on stage with Gary Keller, I see you on things that are much larger than the region, which is incredible. So you're being noticed. I don't know. You're just out there, which is great. And I just want to say I congratulate you on that, because what you did as far as leaving that career to what you're doing now is just, you're living a different life and you're changing other people's lives. And you said, not to sound corny or whatever, but you are. I mean, you helped change my life for my family and what I do. And you've done that for Susan and for everybody else in here. So I appreciate that. And I thank you for that. One of the things real quick I want to do before I wrap this up, I want to talk just a little bit about the region that you are in charge of. What are you seeing from up high? Like, we see our little markets and stuff. What are you seeing from up high? Where do you see it going in the next 6 to 12 months? I know you can't predict the future, but what do you see? What's your hunch?
You know, it's funny. Right before this call, I was just on the call with Gary Keller, and Gary actually showed us a video with him interviewing Steve Murray, who's one of the, you know, most brightest consultants in America on the real estate, Real Trends. And, you know, Gary asked him the question, what you just asked me. And I think those two's minds a lot better than mine. So
you can,
I'll give you their answer.
All right. Sounds good.
And their answer is that they think 2021 is going to be a great year again. Maybe if not better, the same. You know, because new construction has really went berserk.
Yeah.
And especially a lot of parts of the country. You know, the problem now is just lumber, right? You know, where are you going to get all the wood to build these new homes? So with that being said, we, you know, the professionals, including me, I feel like we still are probably going to have a very good 2021.
That's good.
And, you know, as a region, you know, we broke records, you know, August. Yeah. And July, we paid the agents more money than we ever paid ever.
Yeah, that's
and
awesome.
The contracts written, which is the future, 90 days, 120 days ahead have records. So when you have that happening, you know, we're going into the fourth quarter with some momentum.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think the market's going to really, we're going to go into the end of the year with a bang. And I think we might come out on the other side doing what we did. I mean, we were on record pace before COVID hit. I mean, if COVID didn't happen,
oh my gosh.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, we would have probably broke some records this year.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's amazing where I would have never thought we would have recovered this quickly and this much, and even going past the numbers that we had last year. It just blows my mind, but it's great. And I, you know, all I can hope is that the economy keeps going and we get under control of the COVID situation and we can get back to some sort of normalcy. But I want to thank you for being on the show today, John. It means a lot to me, and I will definitely be reading your book to check it out and read the whole thing and really dig in. But thank you for being on the show.
Hey, and if anybody wants to check it out, go to leavingsixfigures.com, the number six, and check it out. And if they, you know, they're thinking about leaving a career that they're in now, it's a great read.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So thanks a lot, John. I appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
There you have it. That was John Clyde. He's got a book, Leaving Six Figures. It says dual career to full career. Very interesting. He started as a roofer as a kid and then moved his way up through. And now he's just doing great. He's at Keller Williams. He's the regional director there, writing books and just having a great time and changing lives. So that's all we got for today. I hope you'll see you again real soon. Are your kitchen and bathroom way overdue for a remodel? Well, I got the guy for you. Call John Sellers at First Response Contracting, 484-256-7136. Both residential and commercial services, and he's licensed and insured. Call him at 484-256-7136, First Response Contracting.